Fatima, where heaven and earth have met. Since the day our Blessed Mother visited her cousin Elizabeth, she has never stopped visiting her people and care for them in time of need, reminding them of the gospel of her son. This happened in Guadalupe, Mexico, and then in Lourdes, France. Let us now hear what was the purpose and message of her visitation in Fatima on every 13th of the month from May to October in 1917. Here now is the director of Radio Maria Canada, Father George Amaro.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, for another program about Fatima, as we have already gone over what was happening in the world, especially in Europe, in 1917. Now we must go over what was happening particularly in Portugal in that year. And speaking of Portugal, it's good to go over a short history of this small country, the most western country in Europe, where it was said where the land finishes and the ocean starts, because it was there was no known land beyond the Atlantic Ocean, as you know, in the old times. So Portugal was in 400 BC, let's say 10,000 years ago, was invaded, was inhabited by first were the Iberian people. That's why that peninsula it's called Iberia Peninsula. So first were the Iberian Peninsula, that the Iberian people that came from North Africa, from the zone around the Mount Atlas, Morocco. And then the second people that came from Germany, one of the German tribes, the Celtics. And then they formed a single people called the Celto-Iberic, and then and these people are the ones that are called Lusitan, because Portugal was called Lusitania at the time of the Romans. So in 400 BC up to 1440 BC, Lisbon existed. Was probably one of the oldest capitals in Europe, founded 400 years before the Roman era. We see remnants of Celtic tribes there. The Carthaginians from Cartago, North Africa, and from Phoenicia, which is now Lebanon, north of Israel. There are settlements that belong to these countries, and the name Lisbon comes from Olisiponum, that means the town of Ulysses, from the Odyssea, that work from Homero. So when the Romans took place of that place that was called Lusitania, they occupied it. Lusitania comes from Lusus. Lusus is the son of Bacchus, the god of wine, and it is probably because it was producing a sweet wine, which you know, it's port wine, produced in north of Portugal. And so the region was known by the Romans for producing sweet wine, and also agriculture products and the mining products. it's Lusophone. Portugal is a Lusophone country. That means speaks Portuguese. But the country we use sometimes instead of Portugal, we use Lusitania because it's what was before Portugal. So we use both names. Of course, Portugal is more used, but when it comes to the countries that are Lusophones, that means that speak Portuguese, then we use the Luso, the word that means Lusitania, the inhabitant of Lusitania. In the Middle Ages, after the Romans came the Suev, and those come from Ukraine. And after those, they established a kingdom in north of Portugal, capital Bracara, and then the Visigoths that were in the rest of the Iberia Peninsula, what is now Spain, they conquered that kingdom, and so Portugal became Visigoth. At the time when the Moors came from North Africa to conquer Europe, they conquer all the Iberia Peninsula. They conquer all the Iberia Peninsula up to Poitiers in France. And you know that was Poitiers in France that delivered a battle. Carlos Martel was the king of the Franks and stopped the advance of the Moors. Otherwise, by that, those from the west and the Ottoman Empire from the east, they would have conquered the rest of Europe. Now, Portugal became independent. So many people think that it became independent from Spain. Portugal did not become independent from Spain because Spain didn't exist yet. Portugal became independent from the King of Leon. Leon was one of the kingdoms in Spain after the reconquest that started in Asturias. Leon was one of the kings of the kingdoms, and Portugal became independent from that kingdom in 1279. So it's one of the oldest countries in Europe with the same borders that we have had, because we became independent from the King of Leon, but then we made the whole of Portugal conquering land to the Moors up to the southern part. It is called Algarve. And we made history and we became a global power because we were the first. If you don't count on the Vikings that probably have gone to Ireland and to Iceland, to Groenlandia, and maybe even to Newfoundland in Canada, but there is no notice of that. So if you don't count them, the first people that went out to the ocean were the Portuguese, because we were just in front of the ocean. And so the ocean somehow attracts and calls you. And we went to discover if there was land beyond this ocean. Was at that time all involved by myths. We thought that it was the end of the world, going to the ocean, and that the ships would fall into a fall. Anyway, there were lots of histories, lots of legends, because nobody had ventured beyond the ocean. And so famous became Vasco da Gama, that went around Africa and found a way to India, and so cut the trade of the Silk Road that would be done from now on by means of the sea, of the ocean. And then we had also Fernando Magellan that circumnavigated the planet with the first travel of circumnavigation. We have Bartolomeu Dias that long before had discovered that Africa does not go to the South Pole, so there was a passage in the Cape of Hope that is called still today in South Africa. Pedro Álvares Cabral discovered Brazil, and of course we became a colonial empire. Brazil in America, Angola and Mozambique in Africa, Saint-Tome, Cape Verde, Guinea, and then in Indonesia, East Timor, and also Macau in China. So we became this global empire together with the Spaniards. Also, we were the first, and that, as you know, the British and the other European powers came after. There was a decline of Portugal because in 1578 our king went into a North Africa war, and he was only 15 years old, and he died there in a battle. And then since he had no heirs, so he had problems, and the king of Spain had claims to our throne because of family relationships, and he got it. So from 40 years we were under Spanish rule, and in 1640 we got out of the Spanish rule, and of course we had a war with Spain, a restoration war, which we managed to overcome. Since the Middle Ages we have had it's called the oldest alliance, with England, and then sometimes Portugal calls upon that alliance for help, or at other times England calls upon that alliance for help. And at the time of Napoleon ruled almost over Europe, the British, Napoleon declared a blockade that all ports should close their ports to England, and Portugal did not close its ports because of that alliance. And then Napoleon invaded Portugal three times, but he never managed to conquer Portugal. The Portuguese defended themselves with the help of the British. And then close already to 1917, we have in 1910, Portugal became a republic. The king was overthrown before he was killed, but the heir took power, and in 1910 the kings resigned, and we had a republic. And so that's we are when Fatima occurs, we are in the first 7 years of that republic. So after a little pause we come back to that. As we were saying, so we were living our first years of the Republic. Of course, there were dictatorship after dictatorship, and lately, in 1933, a second Republic came about. That's called the New State, and was established by Antonio Oliveira Salazar, and he and his successor, they ruled in a fascist-like government in completely isolation, and its motto was proudly alone, and Portugal at that time was fighting colonial wars in Mozambique, Guinea, and in Angola during 10 years, and precisely because we were wary with that war, many young people was dying those in that war in three fronts. And in 1974, there was a revolution called the Carnation Revolution, the Red Carnation Revolution, because it was a coup d'etat by the military and the restoration of democracy in Portugal. It is called the Carnation Revolution because there was a lady that when the military took place, there was a lady selling carnations. And when she saw the military in the streets, and she put a carnation in the barrel of those weapons. And since there was no shooting in that day, it was a peaceful revolution. Nobody died. So it was called the Carnation Revolution that overthrew almost half century of fascism in Portugal. Then so democracy was restored. In 75, we gave back all the colonies that we possessed. We kept Macau because China wanted us to keep it. We gave it back in 2000, the year 2000. And in 1986, Portugal joined the European Union. And lately, in 2004, one of our prime ministers became the one who presides the European Commission. So that's the history of Portugal in brief, from the early times to now. It's as I said, one of the oldest countries that came out of a kingdom, León, because Spain was formed much later, was formed in 1500, so centuries after, when took the two called Catholic kings, the Queen Elizabeth, a queen from the west of Spain, the Mary Fernando, Fernando from Aragon, and they formed, they unified Spain, because up to that time, Spain, what is called Spain, and people like to call Spain, was just kingdoms. Now, what was going on 1917? This is a very particular year. So, as I said, 7 years after the Republic. And so, especially this Afonso Costa, a president, was ruling since the beginning of the Republic, and is a matter of fact, he's from my country village, he's from my town. So he thought, and somehow the church was with monarchy, so they look at the Catholic Church as an enemy of the state. So first thing, they suppressed and expelled all the religious orders. So the property of the religious orders was confiscated. So in 1917, when Our Lady of Fatima appeared, there were no religious orders in Portugal. No Franciscans, Dominicans, Augustinians, especially the Jesuits. The Jesuits were very strong in Portugal because it's so close to Spain where they were founded. And also because we were bringing the Jesuits to Brazil, the Jesuits evangelized Brazil, the Jesuits, the Jesuits, we took them up to China, Francis Xavier from Spain. So So Jesuits were very important, and they were an intellectual force. So it is actually like Mao Zedong, like many of these revolutions. They start to cutting the heads of the intellectual people. So that was in Portugal in 1917. So religious orders were expelled. Those that remained, of course, they couldn't go all outside Portugal. Those that remained, they were living not in monasteries, in houses, family members, and they could not dress the habits, not nuns, not friars, not monks. Nobody could use the habits outside. Religious ceremonies were not permitted outside the church, so nothing, masses outside the church. Processions, especially processions, Portuguese people are famous for processions. Even here in Toronto, there has been, when I was here 20 years ago, the processions were 3 kilometers long with 3 street bands playing downtown Toronto. Now they are shorter, and of course in pandemic times we don't see them. But in a normal summer, you will see downtown churches, you'll see processions by the Portuguese. We love processions. Procession is an interesting manifestation of your faith. And they are somehow a rural thing. In my village, I knew people that wouldn't go to Mass on Sunday, but they would never fail the procession. They would always, if there is a procession, you see them there processing. So a procession is like a parade. In English, is what you would call a parade, a Christian parade. You take our statues of the saints, especially of Blessed Mother, and you take them out and you carry them. And so many symbols of our faith, and so many beautiful things. It's really a parade, a beautiful parade of our faith. And it's important that it's a manifestation of your faith, because this culture, our culture, wants to make faith a particular, a private thing. No, we have to bring it to the public and to show off. As the gay parade, they show off that they are gay. Well, we show off that we are Christians. And we manifest to the rest of the world that we are Christians. We carried our flags, we carried our symbols and our saints that we venerate. So for Portuguese people, processions were very important. So imagine they couldn't do processions. The Christmas and Easter was abolished. You could not celebrate Christmas and Easter in 1917. The religious feasts got wiped off the calendar. So imagine what was going on in Portugal. The bells, the church bells, were silent. You could not ring the bells. You could not. There were masses inside the churches that you could celebrate, but you cannot call people to mass. So the bells had to shut. The priests could not wear their civics. They would have to dress up like anybody else. There was the religious teaching was banned in schools, primary schools, secondary schools, and universities. All the symbols were taken out. All the symbols in the public places were taken out, religious symbols. And so this is what was going on in Portugal before Our Lady appeared in Fatima. So it was somehow a communist regime. The church was persecuted, and the diplomats and the world around Portugal, Spain, and other countries, they were really worried about Portugal, and Portugal was, because of this persecution of the church, because of taking out the religious freedom, so Portugal was very much criticized in the international scene. So of course, this happened in the year of the apparitions, but 2 years later, another president came and abolished all these laws. So he was religious. Alfonso Costa was not a religious person. And then he came Sidonio Pais, and this was somehow religious. And so these laws were reversed. But and that also, it's one of the conquests of Our Lady of Fatima, is of course it Our Lady appeared in these against these religious freedom that was taken out from the Portuguese people. And of course, she overcame because the people were flocking to Fatima, although it was forbidden. It was forbidden, but they were flocking all the same to Fatima. So so the fate imposed itself. So but that's what was going on in Fatima in Portugal in 1917. So next time we will be speaking about... I will be answering a question that is... Why did Our Lady appear in Fatima? Why Fatima and why Portugal? So, but that's for the next time we see each other.
You have been listening to Fatima, Where Heaven and Earth Have Met, with Father George Amaro. Thank you for joining us today, and we pray that this program is an encouragement to you. Please join us here on Radio Maria Canada, where Father George Amaro will continue his teaching about our Blessed Mother and the significance of Fatima.